that people who come to faith in the Savior only have contacts with their unsafe friends for 3 years before all of their friends are now in the church. Think about it. How many unsaved people do you have a contact with? A meaningful enough contact that you could talk about some of the real deep issues of life with. Do not you find the true that after 3 years after your conversion, all your friends are in the church? And the salt gets locked up in the salt shaker and never touches the meat. The holy huddle again. And to eat with someone in the ancient world was a form of fellowship. Oh, man, I think I've said this before. If I've understood the Gospel of Luke correctly, who mentions food in every chapter of that Gospel. In the Gospel of Luke, one wag said, Jesus is either at a meal, going to a meal, or coming from a meal. It is a sign of acceptance and fellowship. He is reaching out to these people. He's having fellowship with them. He's not contaminated by it. He's not approving what they do, but he hasn't lost contact with them either. And he is eating with them. So he gets criticized. Verse 11, the religious crowd shows up. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with? And here, the text doesn't indicate this, but I think any oral interpreter would realize that the phrase tax collectors and sinners probably had an edge to it. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? The despised. Why does he eat and talk with people that he knows are prostitutes? And he knows are drug peddlers? Why does he meet with people like that? Because you see, Jesus is interested in making people righteous. He's not interested in being self-righteous. There's a big difference. So they're all upset. They are afraid that their holiness is so fragile that if they have any kind of meaningful contact with unbelievers, they're going to lose their testimony. Believe me, no person can I think of is more offensive than a self-righteous Christian. They don't have a clue about their own sin. They are what we saw in Matthew 7. They see the speck in another person's eye so clearly, they have no idea that even a greater fault lies in their own. Well, he answers. By the way, notice they don't criticize Jesus to his face. They say it to his disciples. Now, Jesus gives an explanation. First, he uses a medical illustration. When he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. What does this tell us about you and me? That we're sick. We have a disease called sin. And Jesus is the great physician. Now, the Pharisees, of course, probably thought, well, no, we don't need it. Yeah, they need it. We don't. My friends, you and I need it. And we need it constantly. We need to be reminded that none of us are perfect and that we all struggle with sin. We're just good at disguising it. I had a friend of mine who was a Baptist. He said, do you know, Baptists are not opposed to alcohol, he said. contrary to popular belief. The first rule of being a Baptist, he told me, is a Baptist should never be caught drinking alcohol in front of another Baptist. That's the kind, no, it's not picking on the Baptist. We're all that way. All of us are that way. Jesus realizes that you and I are sick people. We're not as healthy as you and I think we are. And one of the saddest jobs I have is to help you to understand that you're not well, and I'm not well. I need the Savior. Have you ever been to an AA meeting? Hi, my name is Jim, and I'm an alcoholic, and that's why he's there. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had that kind of honesty in the church? Hi, my name is Lanny, and I am a bad sinner, and I'm here to get well. You put your name in there. He gives a second explanation in verse 13. I love this. Jesus is telling the Bible students of his day that they haven't learned their Bible. By the way, that is true. It is one thing, I told the class the other day, it's one thing to master the contents of the Bible, and it's another thing to let the contents of the Bible master you. He tells them, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Does God require sacrifice? Oh, yeah. He's put it in stark terms. He's not saying that sacrifices are not required. You and I don't get to heaven without bringing a sacrifice. Did you know that? You didn't come to God in the Old Testament without bringing a sacrifice. And you and I don't get to heaven without bringing a sacrifice. But our sacrifice is, AJ, agnus Dei quitolis peccata mundi. It is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's why, as Augustus Toplady sings, that nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And you and I, when we get to heaven and God asks you, do you have a sacrifice? You say, yes, I do. The Lord Jesus Christ is my sacrifice. And he lets you in. But now, in verse 13, a verse we looked at briefly before, Jesus states the purpose of his life. For I came not to call the righteous. I think what he means is those who think they are righteous, i.e. the self-righteous, but sinners. In our society, where we're so concerned about not saying anything that offends anybody, and everybody wins a prize at the... A father was complaining to me, his son, little son played soccer. There were no winners and losers. Everybody got a prize. Everybody got a reward. And a take home that you had on the shelf until you got into high school and then you threw it away. In this world of phoniness, Christians speak truth. To one another, yes, but most of all, to themselves. I am sick. I am a sinner. By God's grace, I am in the process of becoming more and holy, but I haven't reached perfection yet. And until the day I die, I will always fight sin and strive for holiness. And that is because we are called. We have heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and drink." And we come to him, weary and wounded and sad. And we find in him a resting place. And he has made me glad. Here is the word for you today. Two words. Follow me. Let us stand for the benediction. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die for foolish, rebellious, self-righteous sinners such as me. Thank you for calling me and giving me the grace to respond with faith. Help me and all of us here to hear your call to follow your Son. And may we, like Matthew, rise up and follow him daily, hourly, minute by minute, second by second. Thank you for saving those who believe in your Son. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the abiding fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest with us all, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.